Welcome aboard the Highway in the Sky. Please hold on. Please hold on. Thank you. No smoking, please.
Hello and welcome to Monorail Blue, a new podcast from Disney Examiner. This is your weekly journey about all things Walt Disney parks and resorts. My name is Andy.
I'm Danny.
And here's what you've missed since our last stop. Our first stop this week is at Disneyland, where it has been reported that Disney is going to make some changes to the Pirates of the Caribbean. The infamous bride auction, where a group of women who are shackled and ready to be sold, is going to be reworked. At the ride currently, there's a sign that says, "Auction, take a wench for your bride." In this new version, that sign is going to change and say, "Auction, surrender your loot." And additionally, the redhead who is a focal point in the bride auction is now going to be a gun-wielding pirate. The ride will close in 2018 when it's scheduled for routine maintenance, and these changes are not only happening at Disneyland. Pirates of the Caribbean at Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris are going to happen too. And in fact, Disneyland Paris's changes are going to be available to the public when the ride reopens on July 24th. And now, on to our next stop.
No smoking, please.
All right, everyone, and our first stop takes us to Disneyland Resort, where we're going to talk about some perspective talking, actually. Just kind of our thoughts and kind of everything we know about Disney Max Pass coming to the Disneyland Resort later this month. So, you know, just wanted to kind of like talk about what it is more in detail, and then our opinions on it and whether we think it's worth it or how it compares to the already in place FastPass Plus at Walt Disney World Resort. So I can start off by saying that, you know, just from what we can see online, we do know that the Disney Max Pass system will start sometime in mid-July. No specific dates have been unveiled by Disney just yet. We do know that it's going to be available, and Disney made sure to let us know, at an introductory price of $10 per day per ticket, per person. So, and not only does it include the ability to book FastPass through Disney Max Pass, it also gives you unlimited downloads of your PhotoPass downloads for that day, which in and of itself used to be, I think, a $30 or $40 option. So that's a positive thing if you look at it that way. But the Disney Max Pass system, for those that don't know, is not anything truly different than the already existing FastPass system at the Disneyland Resort. It's not like FastPass Plus at Walt Disney World, where you're able to book your FastPasses in advance to your vacation or trip to Disneyland. It's simply just a way to digitally book your FastPasses without actually being at the kiosks at the attraction for that day. However, it still remains the same that all the park tickets still have to have been utilized at the gate for that particular day. And you can't book them the day before, it's only the day of. So it's simply just kind of giving you a convenience of being able to say, be in Disneyland Park and book a fast pass for Radiator Springs Racers at Disney California Adventure Park without actually having to physically visit that location. But it's still the same as where you have to have, you can only have one fast pass at a time. And then once your next available fast pass is ready for you to be able to book, you can then just bring up the app and utilize the app to book your next fast pass. So it would allow you to take the most advantage of the fast pass system. And really, I guess, maximize your time, whereas you may not be able to, where you may not be able to, you know, go so quickly from one attraction to the other to, like, at the exact moment to book the next FastPass. You could easily just pull out your phone at any moment and book your next FastPass. So it does allow you to maximize your time. But truly, it's not what I was hoping that we would get in regards to like the FastPass Plus system at Walt Disney World. And also, a lot of the people who have been discussing it online, where you see things on Twitter or, you know, just in social media in general, people have a lot of concerns about it costing money, whereas the FastPass Plus system at Walt Disney World does not cost the guests money in addition to the cost of their park admission ticket. There's no added benefit of there being unlimited use of the FastPass or instant use of the FastPass, something like the front of the line pass at, let's say, Universal Studios, any of the Universal Studios theme parks, where you pay a significant amount more money for front of the line access, but that's an unlimited use of basically skipping the line for shows and attractions throughout the entire day whenever you choose to use it. The only thing close to this available at the Disneyland Resort is a Disneyland Resort VIP tour. And a VIP tour, of course, as you know, are when the guest relations tour guides are with you and accompanying you, and of course can provide you expedited access to a select number of attractions, not every attraction and not every show, but they do offer expedited access to all of those things in an unlimited fashion during that tour time. But the tours do have a minimum of 6 hours of booking, and they start at $2,400. And that does not include your park admission. So it's definitely...
It's a lot.
So it's a lot more money than something like Universal Studios Front of the Line Pass. But Max Pass is a lot less than Universal Studios Front of the Line Pass, but
it's
really
not as extensive.
Yeah, it's not offering as much. So I'm truly kind of trying to figure out where Disney Max Pass is going to be beneficial.
It's very confusing because, like you said, I think the best case is if you're in a group of, like, let's say five people. And in this group of five people, it's all friends. And it's really crowded. And you're in line and you're like, hey, we really want to go on Splash Mountain. Let's get a fast pass for, you know, Splash Mountain. Then, like you said, you could just pull it up while you're in line for, let's say, the Haunted Mansion. And book it right then and there so you can be more efficient. And why it's beneficial in a group of five singles is it's just $10 for one person. If it's in a family, then it just adds a whole nother, like I say, a family of five, $50 to the trip. And you're not going to need five photo passes too. So, the photo pass thing also makes it more valuable. But... And here's the other complicated thing. If you already have a photo pass for your pass for the Signature and Signature Plus, then it's like you're wasting money. So it's all over the place. I don't know. I just honestly, I don't know.
And another thing that I was able to see, and then these are all just rumors at this point, again, just to give that disclaimer, because... The only thing we know is everything that we just discussed. So, but as the rumors that I've read recently, there is word that the two higher tiered annual passes for the Disneyland Resort would include the Max Pass service. So your Signature Plus annual pass, which is the most expensive Disneyland only annual pass, would include the Max Pass service. And the other rumor was that the Premier annual pass that includes both Walt Disney World Resort and Disneyland Resort would also have the Max Pass service as part of that annual pass. And the rumor also mentioned that it would be available to any of the other annual passes for Disneyland at an additional cost. Because $10 a day can add up pretty quickly if you're a frequent visitor with your annual pass, but it might be more incentive to you to pay, you know, $40 or $50 for a whole year to be able to use it every single day. It's clear that, you know, this is all still in the infancy stage. The program hasn't even rolled out yet, so they can see how it truly impacts the attractions and also impacts the availability of getting a FastPass for guests that are still utilizing the existing FastPass system by going to the attractions themselves. I was just going to say, yeah, like, we don't know. Too. Yeah, we just don't know if it's going to impact, you know, guests who are, you know, maybe they'll have a small allotment. Maybe they'll have, like, a special allotment of tickets that are available for guests that are visiting the actual attraction itself. And then, like, a larger allotment for people that are using the MaxPass system. But if you think about it, it is a per-day cost. So if you have a family staying at one of the Disneyland Resort hotels or another Good Neighbor hotel in the Anaheim Resort area, and they have a multi-day ticket, 2, 3, 4, 5-day ticket, you know, if they're going to want to utilize this service, they're going to have to pay $10 a day per person. So, you know, that ticket per person, yeah, that ticket per person was already $200-$300. And then if you're wanting to add, let's say, to a three-day ticket, max pass for every single day, that's $30 per person per ticket. And if it's a family of four or a family of five, that'll add up really quickly.
It's either you get a souvenir or get to ride Splash Mountain more conveniently.
Right. So I guess to me, it seems like it would be worth it for someone that's visiting one day and really wanting to maximize it. I feel like it's super worth it for someone that's visiting for one day and is trying to hop on that day back and forward from Disneyland Park to Disney California Adventure Park. And the MaxPass service would be truly beneficial for them because they can have the ability to book back and forth without having to actually visit that particular location. And that way they can really kind of plan out their day kind of in motion that day to really get the, you know, the maximum benefit to their ticket
for that particular day.
And collect all their pictures and everything like that. So it would really be beneficial, I think, to those one day visits. And then for multi-day guests, I feel like they could probably utilize, there's a plethora of those, Disneyland, planning websites that help guests kind of figure out and look at crowd calendars and see what days are going to be super crowded and not crowded, so they can look at their, you know, their vacation, whether it's 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, or a week long vacation, and they can determine during that time frame which of the days is the busiest, and then plan to get the max pass for that particular day. So since they don't have to buy it every day, at least from everything that's been posted about it already, they could just buy it and just say, okay, it looks like on this day, this is going to be our busiest day, so we're going to pay for MaxPass on that day as a family, and then the rest of the days we'll just use the regular FastPass service.
Also, too, if you have say you're going for a 3-day trip, mm-hmm. that is a lot of time at Disneyland. Like, I sometimes, even on days it's crowded, I feel like I've done a lot, and I don't even use FastPasses. So if they, I think it would be worth it for, like, one day out of the three. Like,
right.
to hit what they want, then have a more relaxed time on the other days, you know, just not, like, stick to a strict schedule. It's like, all right, you know, sometimes when you go with friends, like, all right, let's go here, 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 here. Then we'll meet up here, then, you know, do this. And though that is fun sometimes, it's also fun to just walk and, you know, see what happens.
Right. So I think this is truly just a way. It's truly like if someone, let's say, for instance, like I said, it's that one day ticket person, or maybe just someone that, let's say, for instance, like Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, fast passes for that attraction every day have been running out pretty quickly. Whenever I'm visiting as a guest at lunchtime, it's already all gone for the whole day. So someone who came on vacation and wants to absolutely make sure they ride Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout and want to get a fast pass for it, but don't want to have to go run to the attraction and queue up with all these people waiting to get a fast pass for it, that's where it could be truly beneficial. Because if there's just this massive line of people waiting to get fast passes for that attraction, and they're not even waiting to ride it, they're just waiting to get a fast pass for it. If you just paid to them, to some people, it may be worth it. You know, because time for people, especially at a Disney park, is money to them. So if they want to just pay the $10, they can make sure that their family obtains at least a fast pass for Guardians of the Galaxy. And they know that they'll have the opportunity to ride it that day without having to wait in, you know, a 2-3 hour long line.
And yeah, so if that is like the premise of your trip, if you like, all right, we're coming from like, say, San Francisco for one day and we really want to go on Guardians. And if that's the premise of the trip, then by all means, it's worth it. Like you're saying.
And we talked about this in the past for those of our listeners that have followed us from the Disney Examiner podcast now to Monorail Blue podcast. A long time ago when we discussed the MaxPass system after it was announced, we talked about comparisons to the FastPass Plus system at Walt Disney World. I feel like the FastPass Plus system is I think it's great personally. I know people have some complaints with it. I know it had a lot of bugs when it first rolled out, but you know, anything that's new will have that. But I feel like it's now been a couple or a few years that the FastPass Plus system is rolled out at Walt Disney World Resort, and people are used to FastPass Plus now, and they're used to the name FastPass Plus. And in general, just FastPass is associated to Disneyland and Disney parks in general. You know, front of the line pass, Universal Studios, and I think Six Flags has like Speed Pass or something like that. I'm not sure what theirs is called. But you know, FastPass is definitely synonymous with Disney parks. So I don't know why they chose the name MaxPass, because I feel like it's going to really just confuse a lot of people when the system rolls out, because they're thinking that MaxPass means it's different than FastPass, when in actuality, it's not different at all. It's the same thing. The only difference is that you can book the FastPass from the Disneyland app. Yeah. So I feel like it will confuse guests because they may purchase it on the premise that MaxPass and it costs money. This must mean that I get like unlimited FastPasses or guaranteed FastPasses. In actuality, you could pay for MaxPass if you're not arriving to the park until 1, 2, 3 p.m., you're still subject to having to have scanned into the park for that day. So if you're not arriving to the parks that day until 1, 2, or 3 o'clock, you may be arriving at the parks and a lot of the fast passes you want are already gone. And you spent the money on MaxPass. It's like, what do you then use it to book? So I feel like naming it MaxPass is kind of setting it up to be kind of a dissatisfier. Because it's sort of making it differentiated to the point where someone might think it's something different than what it actually is. And we all know that people don't read things and they don't pay attention to things. They just see, oh, this, and it costs money, and I can get and, you know, skip the line, I'm buying this. And then when they buy it and realize it doesn't have the attractions that they want to experience, they'll be upset and then, you know, maybe want a refund or something. Who knows? But I feel like just in general, especially for the guests that frequent the resort or like either coast, it would have just been nice continuity to have used the FastPass Plus name, and this would be our version of FastPass Plus. I understand why some people would argue saying that they don't want to call it FastPass Plus because it's totally different, because FastPass Plus can be booked in advance without having to have a park ticket scanned that day, whereas this is basically the same system as the existing FastPass system that we already have. It's just digital. So it's different rules. And so calling it FastPass Plus might make people think that they could book it in advance, which isn't the case, at least yet.
My, I guess, dream is if they had Magic Bands or something very similar to a Magic Band in Disneyland. Because it's just so freaking cool. It's essentially, because you have everything on there. Like, I admittedly lost my pass semi-recently because I kept on taking it out of my wallet. But for whatever reason, I don't lose my wristwear. And it's just there. It's easy. You just tap and go. I just wish they kind of brought that instead of this phone-based system. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know what I mean? Because, like, and also, I just the premise of FastPass is a lot better, too. Because it doesn't cost a dime.
Right.
And you can do it in advance. It's like, it's way better than every way, but, and it's free. Then the Disneyland one is mediocre and you have to pay. And I don't believe we talked about it. The price for the Disneyland is an introductory price. Like, so it right. is subject to change. And that scares me.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is. They're very specific to mention that it was an introductory price. So one can only assume that it's going to go up in price, which it most likely will. And with that being said, I agree with you in the sense that it doesn't make sense to me that Walt Disney World's Fast Pass system is free to guests, and then Disneyland's Fast Pass system, if they wanted to use this differentiated system, would be at a cost. And truly, you know, we don't, you know, we could talk on this for literally hours. We don't know truly where Disneyland's plans are to go with the Fast Pass system in general. It could be that they want to eliminate paper Fast Passes altogether and make Fast Pass a pay only system. I mean, it works for parks like, you know, Universal Studios and Six Flags, and they don't offer a free tier at all for any of their guests in that park. They only offer paid tiers. And it would truly make the Fast Pass system a lot more beneficial if it was only a paid tier, because it wouldn't be free and less people would use it. And it would be truly a very fast boarding process, probably. Because there would be less people using it since it wasn't free anymore. So,
Is there any studies, or I guess not studies, does FastPass alleviate line traffic in a meaningful way? Do you know?
Eliminate traffic?
Or, like, does the existence of FastPass help make lines at Disneyland shorter?
No, it does. I mean, it makes the lines at the attractions longer for regular guests. So, and the perfect example of this is any of the attractions that were new and during like a soft opening phase that weren't officially open. They obviously aren't offering Fast Pass, and the lines are usually short. It's when the Fast Passes are being offered that the line, because what happens is that there's now two lines entering that attraction, and there's always a what they call like a merge point, so where the cast member is controlling who gets to go through into the queue. So there's a certain section, you know, usually typically outside or just right when you walk inside of an attraction, where that merge point is, and the guests who are waiting in that regular standby line are being stopped by the cast member. Whereas the cast member tells them to wait and then goes to the Fast Pass line and pulses the Fast Pass line, generally with more people coming through the Fast Pass line than they are letting through from the standby line, which makes complete sense because it needs to be fast. So, you know, it ultimately makes the regular line longer. If there was no Fast Pass at all at that attraction, it would have maybe a 20 to 30 minute wait. But because there's a Fast Pass active on that attraction that day, it might have a 50 to a 60 minute wait now. And that's not including, you know, rides that can accidentally run at reduced capacity for that day due to some kind of technical issue, or also an attraction that would have gone down for the day at some point. And then during that time frame where it was down, all those guests that had fast passes during that downtime are then told to come back whenever they would like with their Fast Pass to utilize it, you know, at that time that they choose to utilize it. So, therefore, impacting the Fast Pass line for the remainder of the day, and that then, you know, has to be, you know, prioritized by the cast member that works at that attraction to make sure that the Fast Pass queue isn't just obscene for that particular ride. So that will also then make the regular line longer. So does it make the line shorter? No, it doesn't. But it, for those that have fast passes, it makes their experience more expedited for sure. And it's definitely much more ideal to have fast passes for attractions, at least that offer them. But, you know, typically they run out pretty quickly. And there's, you know, and guests that come without any preparation or understanding of what the fast pass system is and don't obtain fast passes are typically the ones that get upset because they get to the parks late, think they can get a fast pass, and then realize that all the attractions that they would like are gone already. At least when you witness it happening in the parks, that's usually what's going on. But I think where the Max Pass system to me would be confusing to guests is that it's similar but not. So it's similar in the sense that the scanners at the attractions are pretty similar looking. They're, you know, they have the same chime, they have the same lighting, they look really similar in shape, and so people who are used to Disney World and are visiting Disneyland Resort might think it's the same thing and then be confused that it's not and has a different name. So to me, it's just a confusing move. I understand why they're not calling it, like I said, I understand why they're not calling it the same thing because it's a different system. But what I don't understand is why they wouldn't roll out FastPass Plus in the way it is at Walt Disney World at Disneyland, which is like what you were saying. Bring the Magic Bands to Disneyland. I know that that the Magic Bands are in general might not be a cost-effective overhead business, you know, venture for Disneyland as far as the type of guests that they receive. So that's definitely part of the argument. But at the same time, for a long time, you know, at Disney World, not every guest has a Magic Band either. Only the guests that are staying at the hotels or guests that have tickets that wish to purchase a Magic Band can. So we could do the same thing here. Guests that are staying at the hotel and purchase tickets will get the Magic Bands. And then at the same time, if the guest wants to utilize the Magic Band because it looks super cool, they can purchase one at the gift shop just like they do at Walt Disney World. And then the tickets themselves that we issue at our coast here would have the little readers or whatever in them. And then that would be the same thing that they could utilize instead of the Magic Band itself. So I agree with you. I think they should have rolled out that system here just because it's super cool. How awesome is it to be able to book your fast passes in advance, especially if they're coming down specifically just to ride Guardians of the Galaxy, like you were saying, like we were saying, like, why not let them be able to book that in advance and make sure that they're like, it gives them that peace of mind. Like, oh, I know I'm going to be able to ride it because I have a fast pass for it. Whereas like, oh, I hope I can get a fast pass for it. Like it's a gamble. And then like, it's kind of setting them up for possibly not being able to ride it. And then they are, you know, are not as happy as they would have been if they were be able to experience that.
Two things I want to bring up. First, it's kind of like a personal example. I brought my cousin mm-hmm. to Disneyland around Christmas, and it was like a 30-minute wait or an hour wait just to get into the park. I've never seen it like this crowded in my life. And we didn't get to do much, and he wanted to leave early because he got tired from waiting in lines. We only went on the Matterhorn, and we paid a lot of money to get in. It was that bad. And this thing would have solved that problem like none other. We could, or even like a FastPass Plus would even solve it even better, so we could schedule our day a lot more efficiently. And he can, because it was like the first time he'd been to Disneyland in about like 15 years. So essentially his first time. And he would have had a lot more fun, I would think. And that would probably want to motivate people to go back to the parks, because if you go on these uber crowded days and all the fast passes are gone by 10 p.m. or like when you get there, it's for like closing. A person like me, I don't have the endurance to do an all day Disney trip. Like 8 hours or 10 hours, that's enough. Or, you know what I mean? Like I only can do like a day phase, not multiple day phases. So that would just alleviate the problem. And two, I do not understand why they don't use like smartwatches. Like have a smartwatch app be the magic band. Because, I mean, not everyone has one, but you already have a Disneyland app, so you're excluding non-smartphone users already. So why not just take it a step further and just put the magic, or even still, use, like, the NFC in the phone or the watch. Just have that. I mean, they're kind of doing that, you know, but just jack it up to the next level and make it just magic band level, just on an Apple Watch or Android Wear, is it called?
Yeah, the Apple Watch, of course, is much more successful than the other smartwatches, and it's more. The Apple Watch is definitely way more saturated in the market than any of the other watches are. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, they should, they could have all that, and but the thing is it just. I feel like, you know, this can there. I do see the benefits of the MaxPass system for sure. Like, I understand it, but at the same time, I see a lot of places where it can cause dissatisfaction in a lot of the guests that pay for it, especially if they're paying for it, not understanding truly what the system includes. Like I said, the MaxPass differentiation from the word FastPass. If they're just purchasing it, they don't go to Disneyland ever, they're like just wanting to visit, they're researching online really quickly, see that MaxPass is something that they can purchase, and they are coming to the park like later in the afternoon, like at 12, and they're coming just from like 12 until close, and they don't realize by the time they get there and get into the parks, a lot of the fast passes are gone already, and it doesn't change that fact because they bought MaxPass. The fast passes are still gone. So yeah, but they get PhotoPass, so it's just like, you know, I think it's going to set it up. But not only that, we didn't even talk about this yet. At Disney World, there are FastPass Plus locations where the cast members can help you at kiosks and things like that. Understand the FastPass Plus system and book your FastPasses if you're having a hard time doing it on your app. Or maybe you just don't have a smartphone or some kind of tablet with you that you can utilize to make those reservations. So they have in-park kiosks and things like that where you can get that help. At this point, Disney hasn't announced anything that they're going to have something like that, and I guess we won't know until we get closer to the date of the launch of the system. But I feel like if they put all of the weight of this particular program and any issues that may arise or help that is needed or assistance that's needed from guests on the guest relations department, it would be really impactful. You know, I don't know if you guys have ever walked through Disneyland on any busy day, but City Hall has massive lines. So always all the time.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, people are there to complain. People are there to enroll in the DAS system for disabled, access to the attractions. They're there to, you know, get birthday buttons or whatever it is they go to City Hall for, and having to then add on to that people that may be having problems with MaxPass or need help with MaxPass, seems like it might be also a negative thing that there's not like a MaxPass like info center somewhere. I mean, I'm sure there's some kind of unutilized space somewhere in like a gift shop or something where they can turn a register into like a MaxPass, like, you know, info center or, you know, part of interventions or something, you know, where they can just make it so that people can get some information on it and make it a little bit more easier for them to understand, and even a place for them to be able to purchase it and add it to their ticket. That's another thing too, because we don't really
you can get, I think, a lot of people right off the bat, like walking in, like, you know, the people who aren't as knowledgeable as you and I and our listeners too, because I guarantee, like, if you listened to this podcast, you're going to know about it even before we're talking about it, because I have a feeling our listeners are in the know, but the average traveler isn't going to be. So, you know, when they're walking in and they go, "Oh, MaxPass Plus, what is that?" And then you know, some cat, like you said, some cast member goes, oh, it's this, yada yada. It helps you get a Vast Passes in advance when available. It's only $10 and you get pictures. And they go, huh, honey, that's a pretty good deal. And then it's just free money right. at that point.
Mm-hmm. So I would say. I think the confusion, to be honest, is going to be, I think the two major things, and just to kind of like close it, the two major things that I think are going to be, three major things that are going to be a problem for them, for the system when it rolls out, is that people truly aren't going to know the difference between FastPass and Max, Disney Max Pass. They're just not going to know the difference between the two. The names are different, so it'll indicate that something's supposed to be different, but people just truly won't understand it. I feel at first, and then the other thing will be, people will be frustrated that, that they can't book fast passes for someone in their party that hasn't scanned in at the gate yet. And that's currently how it is for regular fast pass. Of course, put your fast pass in a fast pass machine and it spits out that ticket that says, this is not a valid fast pass. And it's like a black box on it. That would happen if someone, yeah, and it says on the ticket, oh, says this admission is not valid at the main entrance or something. It's because that particular person hasn't utilized that ticket at the gate yet. And so you can't get a fast pass for them because they're not technically listed in the system as being in the park yet, because it hasn't been scanned at the main entrance. So I think, you know, people are like, oh, but I'm paying for this service. Like, why can't I do that without them having to be here? Isn't that the point of it? Like, they're going to think that that's, you know, kind of negating that, but in actuality, that still remains in place. And I think the third thing that's going to be hard for this is that you're going to have those people that just aren't going to read about it. Like you said, they're not going to be in the know about it, and they're going to purchase it late in the day and maybe purchase it at a time when most of the passes have run out already for the day. And they're truly not getting their value out of that $10 per person, and they're going to want a refund on it. So I think that's going to be where it's going to have some growing pains at first, and truly maybe this is all just a test. Maybe this is just simply a test for Disneyland's executive team to see if, you know, something like the FastPass Plus system at Walt Disney World could roll out here. This could all be, you know, part of that. Who knows? But I just think for right now, it sounds cool because you can do everything on your phone, and it sounds like you are able to, for some, like I said, we both talked about some instant usages on this, how it could be really beneficial for someone. But overall, I just think it's going to be interesting to see how it all rolls out, you know?
Well, also, too, they're doing it now before Star Wars Land opens. So they're, like you said, they're going to work out the kinks out. But one fear I have, though, is once this gets established and Star Wars Land is rolling, you know it's going to be super crowded. Will Disney Max Pass be the only way you can ride any of the rides on there?
Right. That's exactly what I was saying, too, is just that I truly think, in my opinion, that this is the beginning of a paid-only FastPass, like moving forward. So I don't think it's going to be that way now, obviously. But I think moving forward, this is going to be, and maybe Disneyland is the testing ground for that, because we are so on this coast, so much more heavily impacted as far as crowds compared to Walt Disney World. Which can spread guests, you know, out over four parks rather than two. I think maybe this is the precursor to a paid-only service. Maybe we are the test ground for it to see if guests, A, will pay for a FastPass service, and B, how many people will be okay with paying for it. And if people are okay with paying for it, as they mentioned specifically, this is an introductory price, you know, so does that mean next year it'll be $40 a day per person? Will it be $30 a day? We don't know. And will they determine, oh, you know, maybe Max Pass is the only Fast Pass we offer, and there is no regular Fast Pass anymore? So I agree with you on that. I think it could be like a precursor.
Interesting times.
Like, oh, you can only book fast passes for the Star Wars Land attractions if you have Max Pass. I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening as like the first kind of transition into that. It's because you know that that land is going to be heavily impacted, and you know, really hard to get fast passes for, and truly just, you know, I would say even impacted just getting into the land. So
it's going to be a nightmare, because we saw with Guardians on the opening day, lines were insane. Then with Pandora, the world of Avatar.
I could see them doing that. Like you said, that like, I could see them
was
like,
insane.
Maybe later on in the year, making it available to regular fast passes. But for like the first 6 months of its opening, you can only get fast passes for any of the Star Wars themed land attractions by having a Max Pass. Like, I could see that being like a case.
I don't know. Like, it's, I hate that that would, it like that, it, I hate that that is a possibility, yeah. And a very strong possibility, because people who already are going to go are going to pay an arm and a leg. And again, it's Disney knows how to make money, and they know how to extract every dime from the person who visits there. So
it, yeah. I mean, if they're, they do know how to obviously turn a business into a profitable business, but if they can offer a quality product, and it's worth the money, then it'll be worth it. So we'll have to see.
Yeah. Oh, very much definitely.
But
that too. It's a catch 22, I guess, or not a catch. Or
but we want to know what you guys something. Think. I mean, you've heard a lot about what Andy and I think about the Max Pass system coming to Disneyland Resort. But we want to hear what you guys think. So, you know, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Monorail Blue Pod, P-O-D. We're on Instagram with the same name, at Monorail Blue Pod. And we're on Facebook at the Monorail Blue Podcast page. So let us know on any of those social medias what you think about the Max Pass system and how you feel like it's going to be beneficial or how you feel like it's not going to be beneficial, so we can hear what you guys think, because I'm interested to see kind of what other people think. I know what we think you know, because we've all had our opinions on it already in the past, but I'd be curious to see what other people think, other maybe annual pass holders or just guests that are listening, day guests that are listening to our podcast and maybe came across it, want to know what they think about it.
No smoking, please.
We're now arriving at our last stop, but the fun doesn't have to end here. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to keep up with the latest episodes. And also, please give us 5 stars or any other feedback you would like to give to us. It is greatly appreciated. Also, please email us at monorailblue@disneyexaminer.com if you want to contact us about any issue or leave any feedback in general. We love to hear from you. Finally, like us on our social media accounts. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at monorailbluepod. And also, please follow Disney Examiner on those same social media websites for all the latest Disney news. Thank you for joining us on this magical journey, and we hope to see you soon.
We are circling the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. Rising from the Magic Kingdom, on the opposite shore is Cinderella Castle. You can also see Disney's mountain range, Big Thunder Mountain, and Splash Mountain in Frontierland.